morning. Welcome. Nice to hear all the chatter. It almost sounds like Pentecost Sunday when they all spoke in tongues, but it's good to see you, and I just want you to know that Aaron and Lenora are away this morning. Lenora graduated yesterday from seminary, and she actually took away a lot of honors and awards. She won she got some academic honors, excellence in Greek and Hebrew, and excellence in worship. So we celebrate with them. They're taking the weekend off down in Orlando or somewhere around there. So we congratulate them. I think other announcements are all through your bulletin. I won't go over all those, but look through there. We're really excited about Sunlight's send-off concert and tour. And if you'd like to help with the keepsake program, Aaron Cushing, the director who also plays in the Handel Choir, her information is in there, so you take a look at that. And now we have special guests who are with Solomon's Porch, and they're the mission box today, and they're from North Florida. Where is it? Waukena. How many have ever been to Waukena, Florida? Or ever heard of it? All right. Hey, welcome. Good to have you guys here.
Good morning. I'm Melanie Monroe. This is Lloyd, and we're with Porch to Solomon, and we're glad to be with you today.
In Guatemala. This song by the Lubin Brothers called You'll Be Rewarded.
I am walking with my Lord each day, telling everyone I see, if they're headed down the wrong highway, asking them to walk with me.
Don't be on my journey, don't be in my prayers. If you're sad and worried, Jesus surely cares. If you'll serve Him, serving in this life, brother, you'll be rewarded over there.
Those who travel down the road of sin wear a lock upon their hearts, seeking honor and the praise of man. God from Him will say, depart.
Join me in my journey. If you're sad and worried, Jesus surely cares. If you'll serve Him in this life, brother, you'll be rewarded over there.
Well, I was headed down the wrong highway.
Many journeyed there with me.
At the cross, and I was made to pray.
Now I'm singing victory.
Join me on my journey, in my journey.
If you're sad and worried, Jesus surely cares.
If you serve Him
in this life, pilgrim, you'll be rewarded over there.
Pilgrim, you'll be rewarded over there.
They got a football team also, I think, up there. But so we're here on furlough. Take it all the way back to the beginning for me, if you would. We're here on furlough for a month. We live and work in Guatemala most of the time. Your church is sending a team down and keep going backwards, if you would, in June. There we go. Waukena, Florida. I was a civil trial lawyer for 23 years, usually defending lawsuits. We became full-time volunteers in Guatemala, just south of Mexico, which suffers from the world's fourth worst chronic malnutrition rate. We do five things. We host teams, about 30 teams a year. Year-round humanitarian relief. We have our Solomon's Porch Cafe in the world's number four hippie town. We build houses. There you go. We build houses when our teams come down. 86 houses through the last 10 years. God be praised for families that are living in conditions that's not even worthy of a dog, as you can see there. Look at those teams. Those are some people, some of them, Ralph and the other lady from Trinity United Methodist Church, Gainesville, under indigenous attention to supervision. Some of our teams bring medical or dental teams. There's a great need down there. And year-round, world's fourth worst chronic malnutrition rate. We provide food, eggs, and protein, and especially for babies. That baby was 2 months old, believe it or not. Cleft palate surgeries. We do a lot of different things. It all costs money. We appreciate your mission box helping us do what we do now in our 11th year. We're going to have a table set up where you can explore things if you wish, like helping a child go to school. The average woman there has 3.5 years of school. We'll have a table set up outside near the coffee stand if you'd like to come talk to us. We'd be happy to answer your questions. Thank you again for helping us.
Thank you. It's good to be here this morning.
Welcome home. Why are we here? Let's stand and worship God together. claiming this affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
As we come to this time of prayer, I believe we'll see on the screen, these persons in the hospital, Deanna Teekman, Patty, Joanne Fair. I guess we're having popcorn today. Bunny Campbell is in rehab, Lou Kuhn and Ron Bainey, and Hockey Stone White, specialized care of Phoebe. Also, Keith Balcom had emergency appendectomy surgery on Friday. He told me about that Friday. But so he and Phyllis are, they're home recuperating, right? Okay, thank you. Oh, is it my, it's me? One, two. Okay. So there's that, and so let's keep them in our prayers. Also, is there another slide, or is that it? We're grateful to have people visiting this morning. Scott Irons is here from Pensacola. Scott, where are you? I met you, Scott. Good to see you. As we begin to pray, before we pray, many of you know that every 4 years, this is a celebration in the playground. Actually, I'm going to talk about that at the end of my sermon, so we'll bring that back up, if you will, Debbie. General Conference happens every 4 years, and this year it's in Portland. I had the privilege of going for four times over the last 20 years or so, it's an intense time, and I put on Facebook something from my friend Tom Berlin, who's a pastor in Alexandria, Virginia. I'm going to just reference a couple of things that he said. He's there, and he's saying, I'm trying to figure out why this is so hard when the church is doing so much good around the world. He said, mercifully, we only do this every 4 years instead of every year. And they spent lots of time discussing rules because a lot is at stake, and it's very intense. He said there's three issues, three words that are going on that make it challenging. One is we're a world church, and there are delegates, representatives from around the globe who are there, 860 or so. And all the delegates, regardless of money or other ways, they have full voting rights. General Conference has been compared to the U.S. Congress. But it's more like the United Nations, with widely different cultural and ethnic backgrounds, and they translate for everybody regardless of language. So there's lots of patience. All of this is worthwhile and weary-making, he said. The second word he had is ideology. We're a very broad tent, we United Methodists. Most of you in United Methodist in the U.S. are centrists, either Republicans and Democrats. I've told you before, both Hillary Clinton and George W. Bush are United Methodists. That tells you a lot, doesn't it? We're serious liberals and serious conservatives. We don't see all social issues the same, but cling to the belief that the love of Christ is the sufficient bonding agent to keep us together. We disagree on many things. And so each delegate comes with two large books of proposals for rule changes. Two large books. In our local churches, we often handle our differences with polite silence. Not necessarily here at Trinity, but no, for the most part, we handle our differences with polite silence. But at General Conference, we speak out loud with microphones and live streams. Most delegates from outside the U.S. are more conservative. And then finally, he mentions theology. And he says, and this is my sense too, that in all of our years, our observation is that United Methodists have more agreement on the Christian faith now than ever before. That is to say, we mostly all really adhere to the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. What we differ on in the United Methodist Church often is how we interpret Scripture. Same in this church. And then the hot-button issue is the same gender issues. For some, acceptance of a lifestyle or practice beyond heterosexuality is a denial of biblical authority. For others, changing interpretations of the Bible in light of current understanding of human identity, science, sociology. And then for many, this is very personal. Both groups hold high view of Scripture, but differ in how they apply it to life and belief. We try to engage these relational matters in legalistic sessions, which creates some challenges. So there are obviously concerns for our church. I'm honestly grateful that we're a part of a church that debates real life issues. And they continue to meet in Portland through May 20th this week. Would you join me in prayer? God, we come together on this Pentecost Sunday praying that your Holy Spirit will hear our prayer that we sang in the opening songs. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on the General Conference in Portland, Oregon. All delegates coming with their own heartfelt beliefs and passions. From around the globe, we give you thanks that we're a world church. We're grateful that the United Methodist Church is doing good all around the world. We're grateful for missionaries like those who bring to us this morning Solomon's Porch. We're grateful that we seek to live our faith out in real life situations. And so we pray for your strength and your empowerment. We also pray for Keith Balcom. We pray for these whom we've seen on the screen and for others that are on our hearts. Have your will and your way in our life, in our church. Renew us, empower us, fill us to live and to love. For these things we pray in the name of Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
your hands in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears and sadness, give Him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name.
Receive our morning offering, and we get to hear the exaltation ringers again this morning. Thank you. Pray with me. God, we ask your blessings on these gifts as we give them to your honor and your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, handbell ringers, exaltation ringers. Today is Pentecost. Before we get into the message, the previous week I've been gone a good chunk of the week, and I drove in and I saw the fencing right out here. Have y'all seen that fencing? And I thought, I haven't even left yet, and they're already doing stuff. I have no idea what it's about. I was a little ticked off, and I started asking people, what is going on? And Alice, in her own wonderful way, said, mind your own business, or something like that. Stop asking questions. So what I've learned is it's a Methodist alligator that's going to be put out there. Good try. At any rate, I've been assured it's not what all of us hope it's not going to be. At any rate, Alice is involved, building committee, trustees are involved, so I have no idea, but grateful about that. Why don't you, I think you need to stand and greet each other. Would you stand and say, say whatever you want to say. Greet the people around you, would you? Have a seat now. All right. All right. Please have a seat. I can add one more thing to what I've learned these past 22 years is I have absolutely no control over you all. At any rate. Today's Pentecost Sunday, and I want to talk about these 10 things I've learned, but I want to lead into it by just reminding you of what you pretty much already know, but I want to share that with you, that 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, 40 days after that, Jesus ascended into heaven. And during that 40-day period, especially on the first day, but other times, during that 40-day period, Jesus appeared to, first of all, Mary, and then several of the disciples, except Thomas, and then later to Thomas, to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, and then to 500, and to James, it says. So Jesus was meeting with them, also there on the Sea of Galilee. He spoke of the kingdom of God, the way of living and loving as Jesus did while he was here, and challenged them, encouraged them to do that. And on one occasion, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem. Do not, remember that old American Express commercial, don't leave home without it. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father has promised, the gift of the Holy Spirit, Comforter, Counselor, Indweller, Holy Spirit. It's not a new gift, because the Holy Spirit was in Genesis at the creation, as the Spirit hovered over the waters of chaos and brought order out of chaos. The Spirit that infused and impelled the prophets, that filled the early architects of the tabernacle, Bezalel and Hodabad. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your Spirit? So the Spirit, a third part of the Holy Trinity, has always been here from eternity. Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit will come in a new and personal way to live within us and within the church. Don't leave Jerusalem without it. So each of us, we are invited often, but especially today, to welcome and invite in the Holy Spirit into our life. And it will be different for each of you. Each of us, the experience of the Holy Spirit will be different, maybe, than each other's. my experience is that we're filled with a power and a greater ability to love and live in harmony with others than we otherwise would have had. So after these 40 days, 10 days later, which makes it 50 days from which we get the word Pentecost, Jesus has ascended. Before he ascended, he said, wait until the Holy Spirit comes. 10 days later, they're all gathered. Jews from around the world, they come together for one of the five feast days. This is the Feast of Weeks that's mentioned or referenced in the book of Ruth. So lots of people from the diaspora, Jewish people from around the globe, and they're there, and the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And I remember when I was a kid and heard this story, I was scared. What would that be like? And then I've generally heard it spoken about and speaking, everybody speaking in different tongues, which is incorrect. Peter speaks in his native Aramaic, a Galilean accent, and each one hears in his or her own language that they have adopted and adapted from around the world. And in Peter's sermon, he speaks of Jesus, tells us how he lived and what he taught, how he died, and that he rose from the dead. And then the Spirit compels them, and they do amazing things. Peter and John are walking there one day, and a beggar says, ask for money or gold. And they say those famous words, silver or gold have I none, but in the name of Christ, rise up and walk. And he did, and that's the beginning of amazing things. That the leaders get really upset. What's happening? These folks are turning the world upside down. And that's where we come to our scripture this morning, and we meet this wonderful person named Gamaliel, who also was Paul's teacher. So let's bring that up. One council member, a Pharisee, and teacher of the law named Gamaliel. And we need Gamaliel in Portland, and we need Gamaliel everywhere. Well respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men, that's Peter and John and maybe some others, be taken outside for a few moments. Here's my recommendation in this case. Distance yourselves from these men. Let them go. If their plan or activity is of human origin, it'll end in ruin. If it's of God, if it originates with God, you won't be able to stop it. Instead, you would actually find yourself fighting God. The council was convinced by his reason. So, what I've learned in the last 22 years, which is to say what I've learned from you all, or been confirmed by you, is this very first point is this one. The church is of God. The church is a beautiful thing that God ordained, that Jesus gave his life to. He's the body of Christ. And when the church is church in a beautiful way, it's amazing and wonderful. And we've had the joy of experiencing some beautiful moments together these last 22 years. And the church for these last 2,000 years. This is a movement that's of God. It's not me, it's not you, but it involves us. And as we it's filled with God's presence, and God's power, and God's grace, God's hand upon it. Now, the leadership of this church is really, really important. And what I'm going to say in a minute about Catherine and Steve who are coming, they would be the first to say this. That they are, well, they won't say this, but I'll say it. They are amazingly gifted. And Catherine's parents are here. They're amazingly gifted, as I told you. And people say to me, Dan, are you feeling okay about this transition? I'm feeling great about it, probably because of you, but largely because of them, Catherine and Steve. I love them and know them. They're going to be amazing. Great talent, great leadership, great ability. See the big picture, see the new picture. All of that's really important. And they would be the first to say, this is of God. And this is Christ's church. And you and I, when we lean upon God and lean upon Christ, that's when the church, when we turn our focus of upon them, upon God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, our Christ and Savior. I know you know that. I know you're going to welcome Catherine and Steve really well. I know you're going to pray for them. And I know that you know that this is bigger than any one person, or in this case, two persons. Number two, I've learned you can't do this job without the Holy Spirit. You can't be the church without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't live your own life without the power of the Holy Spirit. Often people, when they're going through a crisis, say, I don't know how people do this without God's help. And that's the truth. Empowered, indwelling. Jesus said, wait upon the Spirit. You can't do this in your own strength. You can't be victorious day after day. You still have ups and downs. Be filled with the Spirit. And realize that we all leak out. We still need constant refilling and retooling. Don't leave home without it. Pray for your children, your grandchildren. So the first two things, churches of God, you can't live really fully without the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Third is this. I learned this from a business person who was on SDR, Steph Harris, when I was years ago. All of us is better than any one of us. Great idea, isn't it? All of us is better than any one of us. Now, I hadn't always liked that. Because I thought if I had an idea and I thought this committee's not going to like it, I'm not sure I want to bring it up because they might turn it down. But all of us is better than any one of us. And all of the great ideas, most all the great ideas didn't come from me. It came from you. Whether it's ASP or Alpha or the marriage course or the gathering for peace, understanding, and hope with people, give me some credit for. But it was Pat Kilby who said, Dan, you've got to do something. When Pat Kilby speaks, you jump, you know. Financial peace. All of us better than any one of us. Fourth thing I've learned, and this surprises me, and I wonder if it'll surprise you, I bet not one preacher in the country would give the right answer to this. One of you asked me one day, we were driving along, and they said, Dan, who's the most important person on your staff? Who do you think? Alice? She's really important, especially when she's sitting over here. I'm going to say that. She's really important. The most important person on your staff, he said, this person said, is your bookkeeper. Not one preacher can imagine any preacher in the country that answer coming to mind. This person is absolutely right because it comes down to trust. And if you have mistrust in any area, but particularly in finance, and we try to be very open with you, and I think you know that and appreciate that. And if you have issues there, then you've heard about churches, and I've heard about churches where that's an issue. We're very grateful for a great finance committee. That's really important. One of you sent me a letter that listed four or five things that you've appreciated about me. And the first one was trust. And I value this a lot. I'm going to hold on to that. The first and foremost quality in a leader is to do the right thing by your faith in managing your personal and church life, in supporting those in need. Trust that you have the courage to take a stand on an issue, whether I may or may not agree with it. Trust. Really important. I've also, number five, learned that it's important to ask often, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? That's what has propelled us, isn't it? Be more involved in mission. Be involved in faith mission. In our relationship with each other. What would Jesus do? Now we might interpret that differently. But we ought to all ask that question. Number six. Our confidence is in Christ. Y'all remember these shirts? Remember these? You know, our kids and grandkids have had the really privilege of growing up in a time in this town when you had pretty high-profile people like Danny Werfel and Tim Tebow, who put Christ at the center of who they were. My grandchildren will be forever impacted in a positive way. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These shirts sold all over the state. I think we can get one for people from Tallahassee as well. The message is my confidence is in Christ. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And that gives you the sense when you hit up against a roadblock. Somehow God's going to help us through. Somehow the sea's going to divide. Somehow you and I are victorious in Him. Number 7. Somehow God is always at work even when it doesn't seem like it on the surface. The story of Joseph comes to mind. Time after time, he's either in the pit or in prison or a slave, but God is with him. God is with him. One of my favorite spots, there are many on this campus, one of my favorite spots, and many of you, is the Memorial Garden. And many of you will remember, as we began to build this building, we got the call that said, oh, I remember as a kid seeing 100 wooden grave markers out there. And all of us on the building committee and maybe the rest of us thought, oh my word, this may all go away. Lots of efforts and this and that. And now, because God is involved, God takes what seems like an impossible situation and now has made it one of the most sacred spots on this campus. Whether people go there for wedding pictures, for meditation, or as we did this past Thursday, to dedicate a tree in memory of Marjorie Alexander. God took what seemed like an impossible situation and made it into a beautiful thing. And that's what He's done with your life, in your heart, in your family. And mine. And He's, that's who God is. This is Romans 8:28. Number 8. Sometimes distractions are distractions. I hope you don't mind this reminiscing. I don't know what you're going to do about it. sometimes distractions are distractions, and it took me a while to learn that. Some of you remember the night we were in this room over here, and we had on the screen the plans for the chapel. You remember that? And we were debating whether to build the chapel and how much to spend. Well, what you may remember is we had a gazillion questions on the location of the bathroom. And people walked off the distance from where they were sitting to the bathroom back there. And I learned more about diuretics than I've ever needed to know that night. Here's the deal. Not one question should we spend $1.3 million to build the chapel. It was all about where the bathrooms would be. We're a peculiar people, aren't we? Distraction. We did a beautiful job in God and the architect and the builders on this chapel. Just kind of watch your conversation, see what's a distraction and what it's, you know, there's an old adage, it's never about what it's really about. Number 9. Windows are better than walls. Glad we got windows. Now you need walls to support the building, but windows, walls divide. Windows allow you to see. Windows open you to new possibilities. Windows are better than walls. And then finally, we all need each other more than we know. We all need each other more than we know. Now, Debbie, would you bring up that picture? You know, we've got this beautiful, inclusive playground, accessible playground. And thanks to a donation, Dale and Helen, thank you for this. This is the first installed in Florida inclusive center for autistic children. Spinning is very important. But this is for both disabled children and non-disabled children. And then there's another piece that you walk out there, and it's where both disabled and able-bodied children can get in with a locker. But we all need each other. Regardless of our differences, or because of our differences. Because in engaging people who are different, life is better, fuller, and richer. There is one more. It's really important to have a wonderful life partner. And Jan has been amazing for me and for you. Let me go over those again. Could I? The churches of God. You can't do this any of your life in your own strength. You need the Holy Spirit. All of us is better than any one of us. Most important person on your staff, the bookkeeper, but it's really about trust. Ask often, what would Jesus do? Our confidence is in Christ. We can do all things through Him who strengthens us. Somehow God is always at work, even we don't think so at the first. Memorial Garden. Broken glass can become a thing of beauty. Number 8. Sometimes distractions are just distractions. Number 9. Windows are better than walls. We all need each other more than we know. Would you pray with me? Oh God, this birthday of the church, Pentecost, is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And the Holy Spirit, over our life history, sometimes it's been vague and uncertain, but God, I just pray that the Holy Spirit, Christ within us, is so real to us today, so palpably real. We open our lives to you and receive you in a new and special way. Feel your energy and your kindness and your love flowing through us. That we might be the church and we might be individuals that you would call us to be. We pray these things in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's bring up the liturgy, Debbie, if you haven't. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ, offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us. gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be to the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. For those of you who can help serve, would you make your way forward? And we invite all of you, if you would, to come forward and receive the bread and the cup. We could use several of you to help with this. And now, who's going to lead us? Oh, they're going to lead us in our closing song. Come as you feel led to come. Houston, and our friends from Guatemala will be at a table out that way.
Okay.
Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.
Amen.